there. This is Terry Cassidy from Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and welcome to everyone who's listening. Hopefully we have a few people out there. Anyway, we're going to have David Wilcock with us tonight, as most of you will know if you're actually tuning in. And we are actually back on the air now, and it's very exciting to be back on the air, I have to say. And we are going to take callers, but I think that we'll wait until, I don't know, the end of the hour. We're on the air for 2 hours, so the end of the hour we can take callers. And what I want to do now is find out whether David Wilcock is on the air with me yet. David, are you there?
I think I am.
Okay, good to hear your voice.
Yeah, this is a pretty unique moment in time. The disclosure battle is starting to break out into very obvious avenues, which are undeniable to even the most head-buried-in-the-sand ostrich people. So it's a very auspicious time for us to be doing this maiden voyage on the Micro Effect Network, given the fact that this magnificent spiral formation showed up in the sky in Norway the day before Obama receives his Nobel Prize award for peace, which he noted the irony of that in his speech, given how warlike our society is right now. But I was just having a two-hour discussion with Richard Hoagland right before we started the show about this spiral and what are the implications. And we went round and round, but the ultimate objective that Richard had was to try to tie in some real-world data. And I will plug his website right now and say that if you go to enterprisemission.com and you click on the photograph of the spiral, he's written up a paper on it. And the most substantial thing that he found that I didn't know is that there is a HARP facility directly where the beam appears to be originating from. It's called the ISCAT Ram Fjordmoen facility. The island that everybody was seeing this thing over is the northernmost part of Norway called Tromsø. It's a little island. And they were looking southeast, and that's where they were seeing it was coming from the southeast. And this HARP facility is directly southeast of Tromsø. So the location matches perfectly.
That's actually fascinating. So you're not buying the Russian rocket story, I take it?
Absolutely not. What we're seeing is definitely not a rocket, because if you look at some of the pictures that are released on the Norwegian websites, you have 18 layers in the spiral. You also can see, if you look at the Daily Mail link, that there is a photograph of it taken in infrared, and the heat signature of the spiral is so substantial that in infrared it actually shows up very bright. Now, that's something they slipped in there. They didn't actually mention why that's important. But you have to remember, the stuff that's coming off the edge of a rocket is going to lose heat very quickly once it hits the atmosphere. And the atmosphere is nowhere near thick enough in terms of viscosity. Like, viscosity means how sticky something is in terms of its fluid property. The atmosphere is not very viscous at all. It's very loose. Viscosity, like, you'd need viscosity more like motor oil or chocolate pudding to have something that could resonate enough to create waves that are 18 layers thick. It's not going to happen in the atmosphere from a regular rocket. This is not. The conventional explanation is actually laughable. And Richard,
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to launch off onto a huge monologue here, but let me just finish by telling you what Richard was saying about it. He thinks it's a weapons test. That's his most likely conclusion right now, that this is some sort of, that the spiral itself is part of how the device actually functions to create a shield that could deflect or eliminate missile threats. But then again, he doesn't know precisely why this would have been done. I suggested, based on his hypothesis, which I don't necessarily agree with, I'm just representing what he thought. I said, well, do you think that maybe somebody is telling Obama, hey, go ahead and make the announcement, and we're going to put a Tesla shield over the area that you do it so that nobody can attack you and try to blow you up before you do it, a la Kennedy. And he said, well, that's possible. But, of course, the other big part of the story is that at the end, you see this black hole that shows up. The spiral turns into a black hole, which widens very substantially. There's one video in particular where you see this black hole make a very sudden, wide movement. And it's very, very obvious when you look at this that what you're seeing is some kind of projection from the ground. The problem is the infrared signature is so high in terms of the amount of heat coming off of this thing that you would literally need not kilowatts of power, but gigawatts of power in order to run something that would generate that much light and that much temperature. And, of course, HAARP facility would have just the right amount of power mapped into it already to be able to use for a purpose like this. I will say that I also got an email from an insider, and Carrie, I've talked to you about her before, so when I say her gender, you know who I'm talking about, but I'm not going to talk about her publicly because she doesn't want to come forward and she's a new witness. All I can say is she's very knowledgeable, and she said in no uncertain terms, this is Bluebeam. This is exactly what it does. This is what it looks like. It's Bluebeam. So if that's true, then the spiral is only one of any of a variety of things that they could do with it, which I would agree with. I think that these mystery halos that you've seen over Russia, and I believe there's also one in somewhere around Bosnia, they are obviously UFO-like in the way they look, and they are bright glowing rings in the air which have been filmed by people in their cars and put on the nightly news in Russia to the effect of making people ask the question, hey, do you think this is a UFO? And, of course, all the articles about the Norwegian spiral are people saying, hey, do you think this is a UFO? And it actually, I mean, I don't really watch American television, but according to Richard, who watches TV all the time, try to keep up with these things, he says that, you know, Wolf Blitzer has joked about it, and Anderson Cooper apparently is watching all the Battlestar Galactica episodes from Sci-Fi Network now, and he was saying maybe it's the Cylons. And this is mainstream media. So, you know, Richard and I, we had an argument about this because he thinks people are too stupid to figure out that this is actually something paranormal. He thinks everybody's just going to buy the missile story. I don't think so. I mean, that's where he and I would have to disagree, because I think the missile story might be like a comfortable place that you can reside in for a while to kind of like keep your worldview from falling apart. But I see this very much as people trying to knock down the wall and get to the truth of what's really going on with disclosure here. Because you got the same exact videos. Carrie, you probably have people send you the same links that I'm getting. Same exact thing in China, same exact thing in Russia. So you got Norway, Russia, and China. And if we believe
it. Okay, are you talking about the pyramids? I don't know if you saw these pyramids that are in the sky over Russia, and one's over the USA.
I'm not aware of a pyramid. I mean, we'll get to that in a minute, but just to finish my thought before we get to the idea of the pyramid. I'm seeing video that maybe you haven't had this sent to you. I'm going to have it in my website, hopefully by the end of the weekend. I'm writing up all this stuff into a big piece on divinecosmos.com. But before I get to the article being launched, I can tell you in advance that I have found video of this exact same spiral thing that showed up in Norway, but there's videos of it from 2006 in Russia, and there's a video of it in China published in April 2009 on the Internet. Now, that doesn't mean it was made in April 2009. That just means that we know that it can't be any newer than that. And the one from China actually spins first clockwise and then briefly counterclockwise, and then it dissipates the same as the other one. The one in Russia actually does almost exactly the same thing as we're seeing this one do over Norway. It is a spiral. You can see the same rotating thing, and it's like a beam that consolidates into the spiral. It doesn't start out that way. You can kind of almost see somebody tweaking the knob, and kind of like when you played that game as a kid with a magnifying glass and you're trying to concentrate the light to the point where you can burn a leaf with it from the sun. And first you're like trying to find what's the right distance in order to get the light to go to a pinpoint. This is exactly the same thing. It's like they're fine-tuning the knobs to get it to the point that they can make the spiral out of it. Because if this is basically the scalar technology, the reason why they call it interferometry, scalar interferometry, is that you have two beams that have to interfere with each other to make the image. And so you have two different beams, and you have to tune them to get them to line up with each other. And you can actually see in the pictures of the spiral the double image of it that makes it clear that the same spiral is actually coming from two different projectors, and it's the combination of them together that's making the image. Anyway, I feel like I'm talking way too much, but I'm just really excited about this, so you'll have to...
No, it's great. be my guest. That's why I had you on.
Your guest. Yes, I am.
Also because you would make sense, but, you know, it wasn't just because you can talk. But I have to say that it's very interesting. To me, it actually looks like a vortex opening. And I also thought perhaps it was coming from the other direction. In other words, it was coming from the sky to the ground, which would possibly relate to even what's going on in CERN. Because you don't really know, just because a vortex opens up in a certain area, what it's stimulated by. It is true, there's a beam going down to the ground. I guess.
No, you raise a really cool point. I mean, Richard Hoagland.
Ground up, but I actually.
Right, Richard Hoagland has proven that the end location of the beam is HARP. We know that. That's now a fact. What we don't know is, did HARP make the beam from the ground up into space, or is the beam going from space down to HARP? And if so, for what reason? Hello? I think I got knocked off the air. Hello? Hello? I don't hear anything.
You're on the air. David, go ahead and keep talking.
Oh, great. Okay.
Carrie's the one that fell out the window.
Okay. Sorry, everybody out there. I didn't realize that I was still on the air. I'm just trying to keep the show going. So anyway, let's talk about that for a minute, the idea that this could be from space and that it's actually beaming down to HARP. And the point that I wanted to make on that front is that we've seen other examples before of UFOs appearing over such things as nuclear missile installations and even in the air riding alongside missiles as they're being tested. And in the midst of all these things happening, the UFO actually depowers the entire facility or the missile. The fissile radioactive material is now no longer radioactive. It becomes an inert shell that has no weapon potential. So could this also be something that was perhaps offsetting HARP-based electromagnetic mind control? Could it be that the facility there was potentially going to try to disrupt Obama's speech, and this was some kind of extraterrestrial intervention to basically knock out the power? Now, that's where more research is required. We would have to find out, for example, if there were any reports of this facility, which again is called ISCAT, E-I-S-C-A-T. We'd have to find out whether they had any power anomalies, which of course would be very difficult to find because they probably would keep it secret. But again, we do know that the exact location of this thing in the sky shows that the beam, the end of the beam lands directly on this HARP facility, which is very, very peculiar. So from that initial point, the question then becomes, this is obviously related disclosure. We've had very high-level sources telling us something is going on. They're getting ready to make an announcement. We heard this from Pete Peterson. I've heard it from other whistleblowers as well. Some people have criticized me and said Dan Burrish is the only whistleblower we have. This has not come from Burrish. This is other sources, and there's several of them. But there are certain key sources we've spoken to. I saw Dr. Stephen Greer speak recently at the Secrets Conference in Phoenix, Arizona, which I spoke at the weekend before last weekend. And he gave some very interesting information as well that I wanted to share, and that is that he's been working with a scientist who has access to the knowledge to be able to build very practical, high-energy yield, free-energy devices. He can actually even build, apparently, a gravity-shielding technology, a little thing that you can fly around with radio control and literally is a gravity shielding UFO, little portable UFO device. He has this knowledge. Now, everything had been going well with Greer, and they were getting the financing together to basically release the technology out to the world to help save the planet. And then, of course, since there are multiple levels of the cover-up and they don't all agree with each other, in fact, there's a lot of factions and a lot of infighting, one of the factions went after this guy and basically ostracized him and got him out of the country to some secure location, quote-unquote, which probably means an underground facility, overseas in Europe. And he was basically being held prisoner there. There was no forward movement. Now, as of 2 weeks ago, when we met Dr. Greer and I did get a chance to speak to him, we actually have now gotten confirmation. The powers that be have set this man free. They're willing to allow him to resume his work with Greer. And is going to be moving forward. They're going to allow his technology to be brought out into the public. Actually, this past weekend, I met with Steve Bassett at a person's house here locally in L.A. There was a private party that was happening. I ended up giving a talk on 2012 and the various subjects that I'm so familiar with, most of you guys out there know about. And we also were discussing this whole business of disclosure, because Bassett, if you don't already know the name, has been out there since 1998. He was on Art Bell. He's actually been on Coast to Coast, I think, 27 times, they said, talking about the idea that there's this war for disclosure. Now, back in 1998, Clinton was still president, and there is a website that you can find. I don't remember the link to it right now, but it's talking about Hillary Clinton and her involvement with UFOs, and it's a fascinating website because it clearly shows, with Podesta at the head of it, there was a whole initiative within the Clinton administration to try to get disclosure out into the open. But Clinton himself did not have the clearance or the access to be able to get the information. And there was a very interesting jab that he made against the military-industrial complex in a particular video you can find on this Hillary Clinton presidential UFO website, in which he basically says something like, if there was something other than dummies that crashed in Roswell, I'd like to know because I don't have access to the information. So it was a blatant confrontational challenge that he made to the military-industrial complex right on television in that speech. And this is around the time that Bassett first got involved, and he, of course, had contact with Podesta. He's now been on television a bunch of times. You can see him on Larry King, a couple other specials. He's been on several networks. So we met, and we had private discussion last weekend. So this is very fresh, very new. And without getting into detail, because I know that he probably wouldn't want me to, the gist of what he was saying is that there are a variety of countries now, not just one or two, who are really pushing for disclosure. They want this to happen. He's personally aware of these folks. He's been in contact with them. Obviously, as a major media figure, they have come to him and spoken to him. He's also organized these X conferences every year in which whistleblowers are coming forward, similar to what Dr. Greer did in 2001 with Disclosure Project. And that whole purpose is to bring people together, to have them focus their energies into the direction of, here's the guys, here's the proof, here's the evidence. And recently I linked to all this stuff on my website. There was a show that came out on History Channel, I believe, describing this conference, actually taking footage from it and then interviewing people who had spoken there separately and privately. So as a result of all this stuff coming together, we have basically everybody who's on the leading edge of disclosure movement now saying that the green light has been given. There's some other very enigmatic stuff that I think I'll wait until we can get Carrie back on the air, which may be after the break.
Actually, I am.
Oh, you're there.
Here.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So I'm just monologuing away here thinking you're lost in cyberspace. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay, but it was very interesting. I never get knocked off. I talk on Skype all day and all night. But, of course, for my flagship Target Camelot radio show, they had to knock me off just to let me know they're still out there. but at any rate, I am back on the air, and just as I was saying that I thought perhaps the blue beam was coming from the coming from above us as opposed to the ground, I was knocked off the air, so I'm saying that again just to, for emphasis. And in case that was why I was being knocked off, I do have somebody who, and actually, David, I've asked you to go onto Skype if you are able to during this show, because
I can actually send you some quick links of these pyramids that have been spotted over the USSR and I believe it's also over the United States, which are really bizarre. They look like pyramid-shaped UFOs, and they're very clear. And they were just sent to me recently by an undisclosed source.
Really?
And I also have someone, yeah. And I have, so if you go on Skype, I'll paste those in real quick for you. And you can take
all right, well, I just texted you on Skype, so you can answer that and send me the link, and then we can talk about it live as
okay,
I'm looking
cool.
at it.
Okay, cool. Very good. Yeah, I see that there. Okay. And then I have a secret source over here who has a special forces background, and he is telling me that quote-unquote, it's hard to hide a plasma weapon, and that it has physical effects that are visible, and also...
Wait a minute, are we still talking about the pyramid now?
No, we're going back to the
blue spiral. Okay.
What I'm talking about here is just this feedback that I'm getting online as we're talking here about the subject. And he's basically saying that he thinks it may be an Earth-based weapon, but he does acknowledge that CERN could be involved. He does acknowledge that's a possibility. But to get back to the pyramids, although you can go ahead, I mean, I am very familiar. Obviously, we just did a conference in Brussels with Steve, Stephen Bassett, and certainly we did a conference as many people will know, the notorious Stephen Greer interview, which we can certainly talk about any time of day anyone wants to. But aside from that, Stephen Bassett is a tireless worker for disclosure. What kind of disclosure are you talking about, and why all of a sudden there's so much activity that's really, it's in pretty substantial areas, is really an interesting thing to contemplate.
Well, as far as Bassett's data and what he shared with me, we didn't really get very specific on details in terms of why are they doing this and what's the objective. The closest that we've come to that is what we heard from Peterson, which is basically that the powers that be have concluded that this needs to be done now because the Earth is at a tipping point that they feel cannot be reversed unless classified technology that can rapidly heal the biosphere is brought out into the open and starting to be used now, because you could not start greening the deserts and have lush vegetation growing within a matter of a few months and have that be something that you could cover up. It would be too big, too substantial, too effective for it to be kind of slipped under the radar. So it seems that, remember, one of the things Peterson said to us was that part of the message that disclosure will have once it's finally made, however that's done, is there's going to be some people here to help us. Please don't shoot them. So the other thing that Richard Hoagland was getting into, yeah, the other thing that Richard Hoagland was getting into with me was the idea that we're basically dealing with this major, major war that's going on among insiders. And so one interpretation of this thing that was seen over Norway is it's like the losing faction that doesn't want disclosure to happen saying, don't go there, don't make your announcement that the UFOs are real while you're there getting your Nobel Peace Prize in Norway, because we have the potential to wipe out cities with this technology that we're showing you we have. So it would be kind of like a breast-beating guerrilla move, you know. That's possible. Again, we really don't have enough specific information to know exactly what this thing is. I do think the stakes around disclosure are very high. It does seem to be one of the factors that led to Kennedy being assassinated. Many, many people have been neutralized with deadly force. In fact, the first Camelot witness, Mr. X, as you know, died under very suspicious circumstances.
Right, absolutely. Well, I have to say that I've been in touch with another of our whistleblowers earlier this evening, and I'm hoping that we're going to hear from him on the background here at some point during the show, and I've asked him to also report on his take on this, you want to call it blue beam, we can do that. Because he's in a position where he may actually know quite a bit. So I'll leave that enigmatic statement out there. And have you got a chance to click on those links and take a look at
I'm actually watching it right now. and this is, I guess the first impulse I'm having is, what the hell am I looking at? It looks like there's a big, giant, rotating triangle in the sky. And there's clearly, like, these beams that appear to be spotlights that are pointed at it, or maybe that's just the way the light is reflecting off of this person's window, because it looks like it's being shot through the window of somebody's car. Whether it is actually, you can clearly see the lens reflected in the glass from the camera. Okay, now there's another shot, and he's heading down the street from a different angle. Now he's zooming in on this, yeah. Okay, so there is definitely, wow, that is really trippy. There's a what appears to be a very large triangle tilted on an angle. It's not parallel to the ground. It's tilted on an angle. Oh, yeah, okay. Right, it's actually a pyramid shape. That's why I see you're calling it a pyramid, because you can actually see the bottom.
Yep.
It looks like
it's
a tetrahedral pyramid, actually. It's only got a three-sided base. So, wow, that is very interesting. It's kind of blowing my decorum on the radio here. I'm not as fluent as I normally would be, but what I'm watching is very substantial.
Well, yeah, live radio. I mean, we don't know if it's...
It's possible that it could be faked, I guess, by CG, but it's a very, very good fake if it's fake. It's very good.
Another one. Did you see both of them? One's over the
I just watched the first one. I'm giving you my real-time reaction. Let me watch the second one
now. Okay, cool. And while you're doing that, I just want to tell you that we've got a background witness who has come forward again. And this is interesting, this dynamic, because I can actually be talking to people in text on Skype who don't want to come up because whistleblower radio, right? So,
mm-hmm.
So they're not necessarily going to come on the air. But they can be giving us all kinds of information and feedback while we talk here. And so that's exactly what I'm hoping to have. So I don't know if this listener is going to be able to do this, so I'm going to ask him if he can talk about the blue beam in Norway and give us any kind of information about that.
It sounds like we got our break here, but this is really a very interesting set of videos you just sent me, so we'll have more to talk about, I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll go ahead, because I'm waiting for an answer here, so we'll wait and see if we're getting an answer on my question. I typed it into the chat here with this witness. And meanwhile, what's your reaction to the second video, which is the one over the USA?
It looks like it could be a lot less... realistic. I mean, it's one static shot of what looks like a triangle in the sky, and so it could definitely be fake.
Oh, you know what? We're going to break here. Sorry to interrupt. We do have breaks at the bottom and top of the hour, which is not too bad, actually. So here we go. We're going to break, and we'll be right back in about 4 minutes. There's so many people to be. It's strange. I think it's strange right now. You got to pick up every stitch. David Wilcox, and let's see, we've got all kinds of things happening in the background here, very interesting stuff. David, are you still with us?
Absolutely.
Great. Okay, So I've got my questions out to our secret witness in the background here, and I've also got another, as I said earlier, another person kind of feeding me information who, as I said, has a special forces background. It looks like he's saying that I'm asking if those pyramids are holograms. And he's saying that there are waves coming off the corners of the pyramid, and it sounds like the power is increased, he says, or decreased to each corner to move the vehicle in a certain direction. These are like heat waves that cause mirages in the desert, so on. He has a scientific background. Let's see. I'm still waiting for our other witness to come forward with some answers here. One thing, it looks like they're actually being very cautious, afraid to come out and say exactly what the blue beam is, and I think they do know something about it.
One witness who's fairly well-established credibility with me and said in no uncertain terms this was blue beam.
And this person is saying that, alluding to the fact that it may be scalar. So that means that both my kind of secret sources here are kind of in agreement with how they're terming what may be creating the blue beam.
If you're going to create a gigantic hologram, I think scalar would be the only way to do it, because you need, you know, you run into the problem with electromagnetic fields that they dissipate so quickly. The inverse square law, the farther you go away, you start losing power by the square of the distance. So scalar, on the other hand, you actually don't pass through space at all. It only appears at the location that you aim it at. So you don't lose all that power as you're zapping it through the atmosphere.
Okay, but what is occurring to me is that it does appear that they're opening what I would think of as possibly a stargate or a wormhole. It's possible that, in other words, it could be a weapon, but they still can be opening, you know, basically a stargate or a wormhole, and they may be letting something in. Maybe there's a reason for doing that.
Well, that's a really good point. I mean, you bring up something, you're triggering my memory banks, because way back in the day when Daniel was the main source that I had, this is the guy who allegedly worked on a project called Phoenix 3 at Montauk Point, Long Island, that was apparently a somebody just sent me a text, and I can't chew gum and talk at the same time. Somebody says, seems like you're right about the beam coming from HARP. Yeah, so he's basically just confirming that it's HARP. I don't know how he got my information at all. Did you send him to me?
No, I haven't sent you anybody. I don't know who's trying to contact you.
I don't know how anybody could have actually found me because I'm under an alias.
Okay, we can't necessarily take their word on that, I have to say.
Right. I lost my train of thought, but the point that
you
I
was saying that Daniel that I was triggering some thoughts in you in regards to the fact.
Daniel, thank you for reminding me, because you were talking about a stargate. That's exactly where I was going. Daniel, back in the day, was talking about a television show that was actually a disclosure of something real. The television show was called Time Tunnel, and he actually had a photograph that he took from inside one of the facilities of something that he called a TVG, and he says, David, what does TVG stand for? And I just blurted out Time Vector Generator, and he says, how did you know that? I said, I don't know. But that's exactly what it was. It was Time Vector Generator, and it was a device that basically creates a spiral just like the one you see in the sky in this in Norway. Except that it does it through, it's this big giant thing that looks like a giant alpine horn, basically. And it's got a spiral going in. There's like a black spiral and a white spiral, and they kind of blend together going towards the center. And he had a photograph of this thing inside a facility that he showed me. He said it was very sensitive. We could have been killed for even looking at it, et cetera, the typical stuff they say. I do not have a copy of this thing. He only showed it to me on a computer. But it was a very compelling photograph. And it definitely looked like it was a real device, some kind of technology, and of course they made the show Time Tunnel to cover up for it. But again, the point was that this technology of creating the spiral, according to what Daniel was saying, is what you need to do in order to be able to get what Henry Deacon was calling a rift to occur, to create an aperture, basically, for either something to come in or something to get out, one or the other. So, yeah, this could actually be some kind of technology for that purpose. I hadn't even thought of that.
Yeah. Well, that's what it seems to me is going on there. But I would love to hear from this other witness, if I can, in the background here. Not sure if they're being asked to be quiet. They've got all sorts of things going on. So I don't know. You know, I have to say that we're at a very weird juncture right now, and the fact that they want to talk about this being a Russian rocket, I think that's really fascinating. At first the statement from Russia was, no, it's not. And then obviously someone got to them, and then they had to reverse their story. Actually sounds a little like Roswell.
Yeah, doesn't it? This is so, it's got swamp gas written all over it. It's right back to the same old J. Allen Hynek kind of crap.
Yeah, it's amazing stuff. I don't know what that's all about. I do know that what you were talking about with the spirals is really interesting. I don't know, but this is very bizarre. You and I looked at a series of photographs at one time together, and they came from a secret witness. And there was some interlocking spirals in, I believe, one of those photographs.
Oh, yeah, I know. Now I know what you're talking about, yeah.
So I'm just thinking...
Those were generated by consciousness, though. Those were not generated by a machine, per se.
Right, but think about that. If we're talking about time travel or travel to other dimensions through a wormhole or Stargate,
mm-hmm.
then what the technology is, regardless of who creates it, in other words, whether you use a machine to do it or use your mind, you're going to have to create the same thing. In other words, it's an opening. And it's
you remember Richard's phrase about torsion fields, rotation, rotation, rotation. The whole daggone thing is based on rotation, because when you rotate any material in our own space-time, you're also rotating the etheric or the torsion field. And when you rotate the torsion field, that's how you start to get a bleed through happening between those the time space and the space time, and that's when you can get into time travel and bleed throughs and all kinds of exotic phenomena that we would call high strangeness or weird science and frickin' magic, the WSFM that Greer's talking about. That's what they actually call it. They call it WSFM.
Weird science
and frickin' magic.
And freaking magic. Okay.
Yeah, there's actually, he said there was a WSFM desk in the CIA specifically for that stuff.
Wonderful. Yeah, well, yeah, right. I can tell you who mans it, too, or who did. But we won't go there at the moment. Actually, there's also counter-rotating spirals, right? So, or drums or whatever, which is also part of the free energy devices.
Absolutely true. The whole basis of any of these technologies does involve counter-rotation. But I would point out, and this was something I wanted to say before anyway, there have been a number of experiments done, sometimes with fluids and sometimes with plasma, to basically recreate the Milky Way spiral in a laboratory context. And what they found over and over again is that all you need to do is basically have, like, either two fluids that counter-rotate in a circular, like two circles of fluid, one that's hotter and one that's colder. And you just counter-rotate those inside each other, and they create a little standing wave that looks like a galaxy. You can do the same thing with electromagnetic fields and plasma, and you also get a little stable galaxy. So we actually do know that the spiral shape is one of the most basic shapes that will happen when you have two circular beams and you counter-rotate them together. So the idea that this is HARP or that this is scalar technology or blue beam, it could be all the above. And the spiral would be like the most basic form that it would take, because what you're actually seeing is ripples in the ether. You're seeing ripples in because the torsion field ultimately is fluid-like. And as I said before, the air doesn't have enough viscosity to have 18 layers of spirals coming from a freaking rocket. It's obviously not that. So we can rule that out right away. The official explanation is obviously not worth the paper it's printed on. What we're left with is we've been hearing all this stuff about disclosure. We know the stakes are very high. We know that Obama was about to get the Nobel Peace Prize. Hoagland has been arguing all along that that may have been contrived in order to give him the legitimacy to speak on behalf of the planet when he makes the announcement. So Hoagland has always been thinking that it wouldn't have happened, that there would be no disclosure until after he gets that prize. So it is very interesting that there's some very highly extraterrestrial-looking thing that happens in the same country where he's about to give this speech and receive this award. This is not, you know, I've had some very angry and nasty emails come in. I know you have too, Carrie. People thinking that we're just spouting off and that there's not going to be a disclosure and they just can't believe any of this stuff. But if you haven't figured out that this is real by now, then, you know, you're not going to be prepared, because one of the things we have to look out for is the possibility that this is actually going to be used for negative purposes. It may not be, oh, wow, look at our space brothers. They're here to help us. Isn't this wonderful?
Absolutely.
You know, it could very well be the opposite. It could very well be that if this is blue beam that we're seeing given a road test here in the atmosphere over Norway, what could they do next? They could make it look like Jesus, or they could make it look like a UFO, or they could make it look like a big fire coming from the sun. You know?
That's right. These pyramids, if you look at them, are so real looking, but they could be holograms. And, you know, we talked to John Lear quite a while back, and he described this technology and the fact that it was being used, it was in use, and that he had documented evidence from a scientist in California who'd seen one over a freeway in the Bay Area that looked just like an airplane. But for some reason, he knew that it was a hologram. So this stuff is, they're way ahead of us. I mean, obviously, we've got, I think it was Jake Simpson talking about them being something like, 10,000 years ahead of us in terms of technology.
Oh, yeah.
And we're just talking about the Black Project.
Okay. I've heard the same
we're
kind of stuff.
We're talking about humans.
Yeah.
We're not talking about ETs or visitors from other planets, dimensions, or whatever. We're talking about the people who are on the planet with us right here and now. That's what we're up against in a sense. In other words, in terms of controlling consciousness and the perception, because as, you know, any movie maker knows, perception is everything.
Yeah, but don't forget, Carrie, this is the same thing I'd be telling you if we were having dinner together right now. It's just that now we have many thousands of witnesses to our dinner conversation. But if you and I were having dinner privately and we were going in that direction, I would remind you about what we heard from Peterson, where he says that 15% of everybody on Earth, no mind control works on them at all. And that they had that technology they developed that proved that, you know, you can make anybody completely harmless from mind control. Like, there's never going to be anything that can hit them. It all has to do with your alleged, quote-unquote, frequency, which is basically how fast your brain is working and your quote-unquote vibration, although I know Peterson would never want us to use those terms because they're new age, but that's the basis of the informational field as it reaches critical velocity in terms of its vibrational speed within your energy field. You're no longer susceptible to this crap.
I have to say that it really depends. I think that people are also able to, in other words, I don't like, you know, the 15% thing is a little exclusionist, and I have to say that it's important that people realize that all you have to do is meditate and get and clean up your life and your karma, so to speak, and you can actually up your own vibration.
That's the point I was reaching. Yeah, I may not have said it very well.
At any time, you know.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's real important, but it's a good point. Absolutely. Now, I'm having some people asking me when we're going to take callers. Certainly, we could take callers here at the top of this hour for the next few minutes, if you're willing, David, and then we could go on the next hour to some other subjects if you'd like.
Yeah, there's another very, very large basis of data that's come into view very recently that is totally relevant to our discussion that I did want to bring up at some point, and I can actually give everybody a website link to go look at too.
Okay. Sounds good.
We can field some calls first if you want to do that first, and then we can get into that later. Because it totally contextualizes everything we're talking about perfectly.
David's website is divinecosmos.com, and we will say that we are taking phone calls now. If you want to call in and ask some questions, we'll do that for about 10 minutes before we go to the commercials at the top of the hour. So you are welcome to call in. In the meantime, and I don't even know how this is going to happen because they haven't actually coached me on like, I don't know, does the phone ring or what happened, but I have no idea. Somehow we're gonna get callers. Right. So hi, we've got some echo coming in the background. Do we have a caller on the line?
Hello?
Hi.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hello, David. Hello, Carrie.
Hello?
What's your name and what's your question?
My alias is Greg. There's a lot of, I'm breaking security oaths as we know it right now. Basically, disclosure is happening. David, if you look towards some biblical pictures of UFOs,
right,
you'll find there's two buildings, and there's the same vortex in the center there, as known in biblical times. It's called Annunciation.
Are you speaking in regards to some of the photographs from Norway and the spiral, and you're saying there's buildings on the other side of the spiral, and you're contextualizing that with biblical passages?
No, there's biblical pictures, biblical paintings from like early 14th centuries, saying that there would be a spiraling vortex to come out of the ground and an open a wormhole up in the sky.
Well, of course, anything like that would require documentation. I'm not disagreeing with you. I would need to see the data to make my own conclusion. But
so
it's
you're
an
saying
concept.
You know of these paintings. Why would that be breaking a security oath? Do you want to elaborate?
As we all know, the phenomenon that's been going on, there's been two wormholes that opened up over Russia. Then there was the scalar weapon that they used over Idaho to knock out basically the swine flu, which the scalar technology is light years ahead of anything else that we have. We got multiple bases on not just in this galaxy, but in other sorts of galaxies out there, Pegasus, Centurion galaxy. Disclosure is taking place right now. It's been going on since the early 80s. If you look up Stargate Atlantis and look at the back of the credits, you see the help of Stargate Command, and I don't know, there's a lot of other things that are in the back there. But talking about scalar waves to take out diseases.
Well, that's great to hear. So you're saying it was used for a good purpose in Idaho recently.
When you say you're looking at the credits, are you saying on the DVD box set, or are you saying at the end of the television show? I'm not aware of that being shown on the DVD or anything else. So where did you see that?
When I first came out of where I was at, I didn't believe anything, and then I seen what was going on TV on Sci-Fi Channel, and I said this is way too much for me, and it kind of lit something in myself. So I'd really like to talk in person more, and I'm going to be going to your Boston MK Ultra conference, and I was actually wondering when you guys were coming around this area, the Maine and Boston area. And I could talk more there. I just don't want to turn your phones off.
That's actually great to hear. But I was wondering, you said that Idaho was actually, they took a scalar weapon and knocked out the swine flu?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that data either.
There's, if you remember the lights, the the light flash that was for Northern Idaho.
Yeah.
That was scalar technology.
Okay, and why are you saying it knocked out the swine flu? Where did you get that information?
Well, I mean, John Lear talked about this too, that they have, you know, scalar technology that they can just let it go on the earth and just put out a scalar pulse and it can knock out just that specific disease. Royal Raymond Wright, he used technology broadcast on radio waves.
No, I absolutely agree with you, and I've established for years now that there is a wave genetics aspect to biology, and it certainly is plausible within the science that I talk about in my lectures and workshops to have there be a technology that could, on a frequency level, actually eliminate a particular strain of disease or something like that. That's healing is going to be much, much easier to accomplish once these technologies are brought out of the deep black and out into the open. I totally agree with you on that front.
But caller, you're actually saying that you are breaking a security oath. Is that actually true, or are you just making that up?
No. If my voice is scanned, I'll be picked up.
Okay. Can you tell us, you think disclosure is going on, is it escalating, in your opinion?
It's, like David said, we're on the forefront.
Okay. So what about these triangles? Have you heard about these pyramids? David, wait a second. Have you heard about these pyramids over Russia?
December 25th of this year, it's the marking of us going into Aquarius. It's the new sign.
Right.
It's just kind of coincidence that this is happening just before that date.
Okay.
You're saying December 25th, Aquarius, as in some of the French astronomers that calculate the passage from the age of Pisces to the age of Aquarius base it on astronomical constellations, and some of those estimates do center on 2011, 2010, that range. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. But as of this coming into this new year, we're in the photon belt.
Well, that opens up many doors, for sure.
But why would they be wanting to open up wormholes or stargates at the moment? Why do you think? Are they letting something in, or are they going out?
I couldn't tell you. I have other pictures that on my site right here that I can send to you that are a lot different than the pictures that you're seeing.
Okay, go ahead, send them.
I just don't have an address to send them.
Okay, well, we're Project Camelot. We're on the web, projectcamelot.com.
Right, we got the music, so we need to take a break, I think.
I'm sorry, projectcamelot.org. We're going to break right now, and we'll be back at the other side of the hour. Thank you very much, caller. I think it's strange right now. Got to pick up Harry.